Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew, I miss your tropical backdrop.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the palm trees?
Hang on. Let me open the door for a second and step outside.
Ah, wonderful. I can feel the wind
Feel
and the
the warmth
palms.
and yeah, the warm breeze.
The tropical London fall.
Yes, exactly. Okay, cool. Let's quickly dive in. Obviously, a lot of stuff coming out. Fed always seems to be front and center, but this past week, what were your big takeaways, market reaction, data, speeches, etc.?
So it looks like the 50 basis point cut, as the initial cut in an easing cycle, is not supported by the data. So the latest is CPI, PPI, which gave us a PCE estimate. So Viresh came up with 23 basis point for core PCE, which is higher than the 16 basis point a month until the end of the year, that the Fed needs to hit its forecast of 2.6% Q4 on Q4 core PC. I mean, this is a lot of percent and a lot of basis point, but the bottom line here is that the Fed, after the FOMC roller had a Q&A where he said, oh, look at 4 month PCE, it's 1.8%. There is a good chance that PCE is going to turn out lower than we expect. And by the way, if shelter inflation was 2%, core PCE would be less than 1%. The problem is shelter inflation, not 2%, it's 5.5%. But the bottom line is that this latest data casts some doubts on this very sanguine view of disinflation. It doesn't mean that the Fed is wrong, it's just one data point, but it just means that you can't take 3 months of data and extrapolate them, which we kind of knew. And so I was a bit surprised to hear a Fed governor,
Yeah,
talk
that's it.
extrapolation. So we got that piece of data. Then we had Fed speakers who showed some doubts on the 50 basis point. And one of the more noteworthy one was Mary Daly, who is the president of the San Francisco Fed. And she's one of the dovish FOMC members. And yet this week she said, oh, we could do two more cuts, as in the SEP. Or maybe one more cut this year, which, I mean, you can't, I mean, at least from my experience, changing your mind after each data point when the data is volatile is not a recipe for credibility, but maybe it's different for Fed officials and for market strategists.
Yeah.
For sure, they don't get pushback as much as we do.
And do you think they coordinate a lot? They're like, oh, let's at least put some doubt into guaranteed to 25 basis point cuts so we have some flexibility. Or you think they're really just speaking from the heart, and that's my view. That's how I would most likely, thinking about it, would most likely vote. But obviously, there's Chair Powell and other members of the committee.
So I don't think they coordinate in the intermeeting period, but what happens before each meeting is that Chair Powell calls every one of them, as he told us, and has a little heart to heart. And I think that's where the coordination takes place. But the coordination is, it's very much one way, in my view. This is not the Bank of England where you can outvote the governors. Dissent are super rare.
Yeah.
And Powell himself, when he was interviewed by David Rubenstein earlier this year, told us that, in order to build consensus, what he does is he listens to people. And he said, you'd be surprised how people are willing to come along with you, even if they disagree, if you listen to them, which is a way of saying, I'm not paying attention to them, to what, well, I'm unfair here. I'm not being
Weird
influenced
thing to say, by the way. It's like, oh,
by.
don't worry, I can manipulate people. I'm smarter than that. Like, if I'm a Fed governor, listening to
So, yeah, so let's keep our decorum, Andrew, and
exactly. It seems like
raise things in a
exactly.
diplomatic and bureaucratic manner. So the bottom line is the voice that counts the most at the FOMC is that of the chair. I think we can all agree.
And right now, I see the markets 21 basis points and 45 basis points in total for the next. So it's a bit less than, okay. And that kind of sounds like roughly where, now it's roughly where you think it should be.
Yeah, because I haven't seen enough data for to get the Fed to change its two more cuts this year. I mean, initially the market was very bullish after the FOMC because Powell sounded so
Yeah, it's like
dovish.
74 basis
Yeah,
points.
and I didn't buy it because, as you know, I flipped 250 before the FOMC, not because it made sense economically, but because I think we got the tap on the shoulder from Timmerhouse in the Wall Street Journal. So because I think that's what they were going to do. So I never really bought more
And there was a
50.
case to be made that they felt like they should have cut at the previous meeting. So now this is you just putting in two cuts. Anyway, we talked about that in the past.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a catch up. Longer term, I very seriously have my doubts that they will be able to cut as I think they will. But I'm really waiting for the election results to change my view. But definitely November is in, because it would look not cutting in November after all this dovishness would look like a bit of
That
a,
looks like, oh, we made a mistake, you know.
yeah, kind of. So, and yeah, and December could be more in play. I'm not changing my view. Let's see what the election results are. Even if Trump wins, he has promised so many things, including kicking out 11 million migrants, which will be more of a shock to the US economy than the pandemic. So he's not going to do it. There's going to be a bit. A lot of uncertainty on what he's going to actually do. At the same time, for sure, all his plans for cutting taxes, increasing tariff, reducing immigration, if there's something that's inflationary, it's that plan.
Hopefully ending taxing worldwide taxing whether you live in the US or not, but a few other not taxing car payments, car loans. I mean, there was this.
Yeah, but I mean, the Fed cutting 50 basis points before the election is a bit awkward. And so going after right after the election, not cutting if Trump wins would be even more awkward. So I think you would need really bad data inflation-wise between now and December, which is possible, not my base case scenario. But for sure, next year is going to be an interesting year.
Okay, great. And then, okay, looking forward, what do you think? What are the, I'm just looking through, obviously, we have
So we have,
stuff,
yeah.
University of Michigan. Certainly, like the 1 year, 5 year expectations. Does anyone care about that stuff? I think so.
In the market, yes, but outside of the market, I don't think many Americans even know that such a thing exists. So looking ahead, we have mainly the retail sales, and there the consensus expectation seems quite reasonable. So 0.3 for the control group, which is the data used to compute consumption in the GDP. So that's the data I focus on. That seems very reasonable, achievable. So we'll have the claims, and claims took a bit of a dip this week, probably hurricane related, so we could have an improvement. Also,
It got worse, so it was a bit higher.
yeah, it got worse. Claim increased, it seemed mainly in hurricane states like Florida.
Yeah, I saw. It was also like North Carolina, Kentucky. I think they weren't, they still got a lot of rain or huge amounts of rain, I think.
Exactly. So I'm not taking this too seriously. We'll see what next week shows. So that's one data point to watch. Then what else? We have some data on housing starts, and we'll see if it starts are responding to lower mortgage rates. I think it's a little too early for that, but we'll see. Then we'll have the leading index, which actually is not leading much, as I showed in my weekly of a week ago. That's about it. And of course, Monday is a holiday, so everybody gets a well-deserved break. The more interesting thing, development for next week, it's the speakers, the FOMC speakers. So Waller is speaking on the economic outlook, and I'd be very interested to hear his views post PC. And also Mary Daly, so who the Dove who changed her view and said maybe it was okay to do just one cut in 2024. I don't buy it. I don't think Powell is buying it. But you know, the data has been pushing these people around, and it will be interesting to see how they react. So I think that's about it for 4 day weeks. And that should keep us busy.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so just a quick summary of some of the interesting pieces this past week. Global Rates Weekly, so basically, Antonio is now back full time, which is awesome. Already gotten some great feedback from
Awesome.
clients. Him and Henry, especially Antonio, quite focused on selling any rallies on the rates, US rates. ECB monitor out. The key things I saw some. Yeah, Neil Mehta for people. Anyone focus on FX derivatives? Neil put out for the first time a lot of the model work he's been doing across risk premium, across ranges, forward vol, more specific on one area to start, but many different correlation stuff, many different stuff he's been working on, have gotten amazing feedback about it. And if people do have questions or want set up calls to go through it deeper, please ask us, because we'd love to do that. I saw the G10 FX Weekly, which I thought was great, bearish backdrop. And there's just a lot of great information in there, a lot of different model work that we do there. Again, be fantastic to hear any feedback. But if you're focused on FX and you're not reading the G10 FX Weekly, I would recommend highly to do that. Obviously, the SAM's inflation model was bang
What
on
on?
pretty much on all of them. He's a little bit sick today, but I guess there's a little proverbial, I guess, what do they call it? Victory lap. But again, taking the model and also taking the work that Bilal does around the predictions of different asset classes, how they would be impacted, our goal is to bring all that together, to the event work, the predictions around the economic model. And then if we have those kind of moves as Sam's model predicts, what are the most impacted assets and what are the magnitudes of expected moves? That is our goal of what bringing that all together. Anyone has thoughts or feedback on that, please reach out. And everything else, I guess, wish everyone a very nice weekend and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well deserved
Thanks.
break.
Awesome. Thank you, Dom.